All right. Welcome to the Aaron Warner podcast on iCode Media. I'm here with Michaela and really excited for our conversation. I recently had a chat with Dr. John Rompakis about audits, and that discussion was from the auditor's perspective, so the other side of the coin. I was talking with Michaela and I said, you know, as a practice owner, I'm motivated by growth. I'm motivated by increased revenue per patient, in addition to taking care of our patients, because I directly participate in that. And I feel the pain if we don't hit our numbers, and I feel the successes if we do. And I try to share that with my team, but I wanted to hear from her as a team member, really what their perspective is towards us. How as owners can we motivate our teams? How do we create an environment that they want to keep showing back up every day and whatnot? So Michaela, super excited to have you with us. Before we jump in, can you give us a little bit of a bio background on yourself?
Yeah, my name is Michaela Boulding. I am a practice administrator for Maple Valley Eye Care and Western Washington Vision Source Facilitator. I've been at Maple Valley Eye Care for going on 15 years this year, and love being able to be such a part of an awesome team. So,
awesome. And for those who are listening that aren't part of the Vision Source family, what is a Vision Source or VSR facilitator? What do you do?
So in the western side of Washington, Dr. Neal, my owner and administrator for the area, and I are responsible for delivering, you know, Vision Source messages, hosting meetings, and basically just trying to help all of our practices here reach their full potential.
So nice. So you really help, you act as a resource for all the practices, and really more importantly, the staff arm of the practices.
Yes, the staff side the of people stuff, that, yes.
People that do the work.
Yeah, exactly. The ones that are showing up every day.
Yes. So very cool. We appreciate your efforts there. And you've been at the practice for 15 years. That's impressive, especially in today's world where keeping and retaining good talent is a challenge. What has kept you at the practice you're at for this long?
Honestly, Dr. Neal, he is the greatest guy in the whole world to work for. He's the best. But other on that side of things is we really worked on creating a family environment here. And so I feel like I'm part of a family. I feel like my team feels like they're also part of the family. And just an awesome place to work.
Cool. So let's break that down a little bit. I'm gonna push hard. So you said it's a family feel. In what way? Down that family feel.
Yeah. Example, a lot of us have kids. If something ever comes up with a kid, like every single one of us are more than happy to try to step in and help cover that person for the day if they've got to go pick up a sick kid from school or something comes up, anything really personal wise. We're all here to just help each other, and we're short staffed. We all step up to help out. Just being a family. We're here with our team members more than we're at home typically with our families. So we've worked hard to create a good culture where everybody loves coming here.
Nice. Do you think that's a culture base, or do you think that is a good job of your team hiring the right people?
Combination of both. I've worked over my 15 years here. I've worked with a lot of different team members. We've had a lot of different personalities on our team. And what we have found is really instilling kind of as part of our practice culture and expectation of our team members is bringing your best self to work every day and how that affects our patients, but also our team members. And if I don't bring my best self to work as a leader, my team's probably not going to have the best day either. And so we've really instilled that as part of just like our practice culture and expectation of our team. And we've done that plus a lot of team building events as well. We do as much team building as we can in whatever spare time we have, and just investing in our team members as much as possible.
Oh, I love that. So the bring your best self to work. I that sounds like one of those slogans that every office wants to use, but probably 2% know how to implement. Easy to say, hard to do. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to your team members? And it's really, I think it's really easy for phrases like those to, when things are going well, but how do you call time out on someone who's not brought their best self to work and make that change, help them make that change during the day?
You kind of just got to call them out. And it's not always necessarily me calling them out either. It's sometimes that one of their coworkers, like, hey, are you okay today? And that kind of helps take me, you know, everybody take a step back and realize like, oh man, no, I'm not. I've got X, Y, Z, whatever going on at home. But one thing we've really worked on is also the phrase of leave it at the door. If you've got personal stuff going on at home, it's, we don't bring it inside. Sometimes we may talk about it and vent about it with each other since we are a family, but yep, not letting that affect the team members' days or ultimately our patient days either, and our patient care level. Because then that kind of just trickles down and will affect to like our bottom line. Did we reach our goal for today? Did we, you know, sell as many glasses as we wanted to for our capture rate? Maybe if an optician wasn't having a great day, we might not. And so just kind of working on helping build each other up and support each other wherever we can.
Nice. I like that. I'm going to put you on the spot. Let's role play a little bit. So we're team members, right? And I think it feels like it's easier if you're my manager. So let's pretend that we're, mm-hmm, you know, same level team members. Okay. Right. And I'm just having a bad day. I got into a fight with my wife, my dog threw up in the living room right before I came to work. I'm late. You know, the line at Starbucks was way too long and they were out of my venti latte frappe, whatever mocha thing that I like to get. So just, you know, everything's going wrong. It's bad hair day, you name it. And so I come in and it's clear that I'm just not bringing my best self. You as my team member, what do you say to me?
Sounds like my morning this morning, literally down to a T. So, so the first thing that I usually do is I say, hey, Aaron, is everything
just okay? Just tell me.
Today? Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, let's role play. So just, yeah, okay, just come at me.
Hey, Aaron, is everything okay today? Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, are you sure? I'm fine. Because you don't seem real fine.
It's just, I got a case of the Mondays.
Oh man. I'm so sorry. What happened?
Well, my dog Kylo, you know, who knows what he ate, but he threw up right before I was leaving. And so I had to clean up his mess and the kids just, you know, weren't being helpful. It's just one of those mornings.
Oh man, I get it. Whiskey went out in the yard this morning. He got covered in mud. Golden retrievers, all that hair, the mud is all stuck in him. I have told my husband, Maddie, 7,568 times, I need this yard fixed because I just can't handle the mud and this retriever, a golden retriever anymore. So I 1,000% get it. But remember, like, we're all here together. We're part of a team. I'm here to like help you get through your day. Let's make the day better. Like, should we Uber some Starbucks? Did you get your Starbucks? Should we Uber deliver it? Like, what's going to get our day started better?
Well, Ubering in Starbucks, you just made me smile.
Good. All right. Well, let me pull up my phone. We'll get it ordered and let's kick today's butt.
I love it. So that's really cool. And I like how you empathize, but then quickly went to something outside to help fix me. You know, it wasn't a, hey, Aaron, it's your problem, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't a, hey, Aaron, you got to like snap it together, right? You didn't make it a me problem. Yeah. You found an outside solution. Ordering in Starbucks is fantastic. Do you guys have a budget at your office for that? Is that going to come out of your pocket? How does that work?
Sometimes it comes out of my pocket, depending on the day and how I'm feeling and what the team member is going through. But typically it doesn't happen a whole lot. And so, usually the office just pays for it. Dr. Neil's pretty good about that. Yeah. And so on Saturday, someone in our group text was like, man, I wish I had some donuts this morning. And like, all my Saturday workers are not normal Saturday workers because I was off and stuff. And so I was like, well, here's some donuts. And I delivered some donuts on Saturday morning to make their Saturday better for working for me. So
I like that. We do something similar. It's we've got a Starbucks in walking distance within our little strip mall shopping center where the practice is at. And I keep a stack of Starbucks gift cards. That way, if there's ever a patient that's unhappy or running behind, that anybody in the office is told, just grab one, give them to the patient. You know, you don't have to sign out and say who it was. Like, I don't want it to be an issue. I just want it to be used. And they're able to use it for themselves. So sometimes when somebody just needs a walk, you know, hey, here's the credit card, go buy some Starbucks for the office.
Yeah. That's great.
You know? Yeah. Oh, I like that. So very cool. Now how do you do that as a manager? Because that's, I think, a tricky conversation as well. Cause you know, you're just sitting in the back in your cute little office and you don't have to deal with all these, patients. It must be really nice when you just get to sit back there by yourself. How do you as a manager address somebody having a bad day?
Well, I guess actually it would just pretty much be just about the same. I handle it usually the exact same way. I try my best to never let our team feel like I'm above them in any certain way. I mean, obviously I am, they got to listen to what I say, but, I try not to make them feel that way. So I try to just level with them. That story I told you about my dog, like that was literally my morning and my conversation with my husband. And so, and I would go out and tell any single one of them that, and so, yeah, so I just try my best to just relate as much as I can to whatever they're going through. And I'm a solutions person. So my solution in that instance was like, let me tell you about my morning. I know how much your morning sucked. Mine did too. I feel you, but like, let's make it better by getting your coffee here that you need to start your day. And so, whatever the solution might be for that team member, I'm here to try to at least give it to them in a nice way, a positive way that's going to maybe just get their day turned around.
Yeah. All right. I think that was great. And breaking it down from a tactical perspective, you, I think you empathized with me very well at the beginning. Lori Sorensen's famous for her, you know, that's horrible response. Just first thing out, you know, when somebody complains, you know, hey, that's horrible. You know, you said, oh, that's the worst. So you helped empathize with me. You shared that you related, and then I liked how your solution was really a redirection as well, right? It wasn't focusing on the problem. It was a redirection because you didn't try to solve my morning. You just, the problem you were trying to solve.
Yeah.
No, but it was my attitude that you were trying to solve. Yeah. And I think that, you know, I've learned in multiple years of marriage that, you know, hey, change your attitude probably is not the best advice or direction to give somebody. Redirecting the solution, I think, was very, very tactful and skillful and easy to do. So nicely done. So let's talk about, motivating the team, because you mentioned that you guys have daily goals as do we.
Yeah.
In fact, on the podcast, I've talked about, you know, a concept called Win the Day. And my office manager just wrote an article in Review of Optometry that I'll link in the show notes about how we look at winning the day and our goals. Clearly, you know, making more money, hitting our numbers, benefits the practice owners, and you know, upper management, like yourself, if you've got bonuses tied to that. But not all of our team members are directly impacted financially when the practice makes money, because they're not impacted financially when the practice loses money. And so how do you motivate them to make sure that they're consistently looking out for the well-being of the practice?
Well, so a couple of years ago, we realized not everybody understands like what our daily goals are, where we're trying to get, like what does capture rate mean? Like, you know, we realized that. And so we tried to bring awareness to how much we want to try to bill out collectively in a day between services, retail products, contacts, glasses, and all that. And so what we did is create a goal every single day based on how many doctors are working. And then there's one person every single day in our office group chat that's responsible for saying, okay, you know, today, Monday, we have a triple doctor day. We need to reach this much, you know, money today and, everything all together. And then we recently started also breaking that down into smaller goals as far as how many pairs of glasses that we need to sell, annual supplies, and retail products. And I got that last week from the article from your office manager. I emailed her to talk to her a little bit. So that just started last week. Yeah. But they have to give a midday update and then also end of day, did we reach it or not? If we reach that goal, it's a smiley face on our calendar for the month. If we didn't, it's frowny face. And sometimes if we like way blow a goal out of the water, we will give a smiley face for a day. Maybe we were really close to reaching or whatever. But then at the end of the quarter, that all equates to a dollar amount bonus for everybody. We've done that for several years. And we've laid that expectation to our team of, hey, like this is what we need to reach. And now, I kind of personally feel like that's gotten a little stale for us. So we're going to switch our goals up next quarter. Still have the daily goal, have these little mini goals that we also implemented last week too. But we're going to have three main areas of focus that we want to focus on. And for us, it's going to be increasing our multiple pair percentage, IPLs on the schedule. And I already forgot the third one. But if we can increase each of those three by the end of the quarter, same thing, it's going to kind of be like a tiered bonus system. So that way the team does feel like they get at least a little bit out of that financially. And we're really working on also creating a system where, how is each person motivated? You know, we've learned over the years that not every single person is motivated by money, right? And so maybe it's, here's a couple extra hours of PTO, you know, get your birthday off paid, something like that. And so we're kind of working on what those goals and what it's going to be to cash it out, essentially. Maybe it's not money, but it's something else that that employee wants to do instead.
Cool. I like that. So when you're looking at the individual employee motivators, do they get to say, hey, here's what I would like? And so each person's bonus is going to be slightly different.
That's what we're thinking. Yep. And kind of making it at least equal amounts, like dollar wise to us, you know, if someone's like, well, I want to cash out for $100, but someone else is like, I want 8 hours of PTO. At least that's kind of the same thing, you know, sort of thing. But, that way they kind of feel a little bit more in charge of what they're getting back, versus, you know, it's the same for everybody, which keeps it even playing field. You know, we've learned that obviously, yes, opticians are ultimately responsible for closing the sale out in optical, but the front desk, what they say when they're booking the appointment and the suggestions they give and the texts when they're rooming the patient, they are also responsible for kind of getting them primed to know we have a solution here in our office for the patient. They don't have to go somewhere else. And so really teamwork is what's helped us drive our daily goals and being together as a team.
I like that. We found it very similar. We found daily goals are important. We tried in the past the, you know, hey, everyone's responsible for something. I learned quickly that when everyone's responsible, no one's responsible. So we had to make sure that somebody was responsible for making sure it got done, not doing it, but making sure it got done. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, if they needed help, it was part of their responsibility to ask for help from their team members. You know, no different than a football team. You know, the quarterback's job isn't to block, but if he needs help blocking, right, he needs to verbalize that to his linemen and whatnot. So everybody has a specific role. And like you just talked about, you know, having that daily goal broken down. You know, we look at just how many patients are on the schedule. If there's 20 patients on the schedule and our capture rate is 60%, then I need to sell 12 pairs of glasses. Yeah. And, you know, and quite frankly, I don't care if it's the one person or 12 different people, we just need to sell 12 different glasses. And we just started, I love that you talked about the calendar, because we just started the did you win every day as well. So if each department has a goal that week, and if they hit that goal that day, they get to put up their colored sticker on the calendar. Uh-huh. So we get to see, you know, who's winning, and just that little bit of excitement of putting your sticker up, I think is it's silly, but it's a reason it worked in grade school, and we're all kids at heart.
Yep. That's why we do the smiley face. It's like, you know, it's exciting, and we get to at least put something happy on the calendar. And it's helped us too when we've been really close to goal, and it's like, you know, 3 o'clock, we're at the last couple hours of the day. That one team member, that's their reporting day. They give that extra push of motivation of, you know, we have this many patients left. We if we sell one pair to each of them, you know, we'll be good or whatever. So,
yeah, I like that. You also mentioned your group chat within the office. What do you guys use for your group chat?
Right now, just a text feed, but we're in the process of switching our emails and everything over. And so it's going to be through like Google Chat, which I think will end up being a little bit easier. It was really easy when all of us had an iPhone, but with all these Android users getting in there, it kind of messes it up.
Oh,
I know.
Green bubble people, they ruin it.
I know. And so, but we just, we just use that. And then, what'll be nice is we'll be able to have like separate chats too, that are for each department also. And then everybody as a whole and whatnot. And so usually, I mean, it's used for announcements of, you know, office events. It's used for the daily goal. And then sometimes just fun, funny stuff after work. So.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. I think we played with Google Chat for a little bit. We ended up just settling on Weave. So we have a couple different Weave.
Yeah.
Chat groups through the office. We run iFinity, so everybody's carrying around an iPad anyway.
Okay.
And I'm curious as well. I got rid of the no phones on yourself rule because I learned that there's an emotional connection to that device, and I get more productivity if I'm they can check real quick for a few seconds and then go back. And so now we use it just as part of regular communication within the office.
We did the same.
You guys do the same thing.
Yeah, years ago we had like lockers in the break room, place to put your purse, put your phone in there. You can go back and check it throughout the day fine a couple times, but it didn't really boost any team morale, and it didn't go super great. And so we just said, like, we're all adults, police yourselves. If it's a problem with an individual, then I'll just speak to them individually if there's too much cell phone usage. But I haven't had to have that conversation with someone in years. It goes fine pretty much. So
I love what you just said right there. You said we're all adults, and I've I get to visit lots of offices and consult with lots of offices. And one thing that I've picked up is that the offices that have some of the best culture treat each other as professionals. And the ones that don't have the best culture, there's a clear hierarchy structure, and it feels like the doctor owner, doctor leader, manager is almost running an elementary school classroom. You know, it's okay for me, but it's not okay for you. I'm going to tell you exactly when you have to go on your break. I'm going to police your time clock and whatnot. Where the others that, you know, hey, you're a professional, I expect you to act as a professional, and we'll have a conversation if and when that doesn't happen. But otherwise, if you're coming in early or you're working late, you know, you didn't leave right on time for your scheduled lunch, I'm just going to assume as a professional, there's a strong reason why. And I think that that's a really cool mindset that I've seen from some offices.
Yeah. So. It definitely helps, I think, them feel fully part of a team and the freedom to make some of their own choices too, when it comes to patient care and what's just going to make that patient happy. As far as, you know, maybe it's ordering a free box of contacts for someone because we missed the order and now it's a week delayed. Like, I'm fine if you give that away. And I think it just kind of helps everybody feel more on the same playing field.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it builds ownership, which is what we started this conversation in the beginning. Yeah. How do you drive that engagement and taking care of the business that's my baby is the owner, but not your baby? And how do I help you have some ownership of that and feel tied to it? I like that. Let's talk a little bit about that, the employee that we all have that we just hired. You know, perhaps we got them from the popcorn store at the mall. Which is one of my longest term employees and you know, one of my happiest success stories. She's fantastic. And quite frankly, she came in smelling like caramel corn for her interview, but which might've been why I hired her, because I love caramel corn. But how do you take that? What's your onboarding process and what's your professional development process? Once you say, hey, you know, we want you, you're on board. How do you take them through the first 3 months, 6 months, year, you know, 5 years? What does that look like at your practice?
A little bit of it depends on the department. But if we're saying like someone that, came from the popcorn store with no experience in optometry yet before, we start day one is kind of sitting with me. We go over our office policies, procedures, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, what's expected of them in relative to their role. And then that first day, we also get them signed up on Insight through our VisionSource platform and get them started on BS Learning. Through the, you know, new to whatever department they're going to be onboarding track. So they start that. And then and we try to break it up between online learning and hands-on at the same time. It's hard to sit in front of a computer for, you know, 2 to 3 days straight completing a whole onboarding track at once. So we try to split up half the day is online learning, half the day is going to be shadowing with their department lead and learning more hands-on that way. And I also on their first day ask them, how do you learn best and like what motivates you to get up and going as quick as possible? So some people that are like, I want to observe until I'm totally comfortable because I've observed everything. We might do a little bit more shadow time for them. If they're hands-on and they're like, I want to dive in as much as I can, let them without it impacting the patient care to be able to have the team lead sitting with them and guiding them, we'll let them do that too. Because that part I think should be tailored to each individual. And then it's kind of whenever you feel ready to kind of dive on in, go ahead, as the sink or swim analogy is. But we really try to tailor our onboarding process with the learning tracks through VS Learning powered by Leonardo and the onboarding checklists that are on there as well and kind of go through that. We have a checklist that is basically everything I expect from someone in this role eventually. And so they check it off when they feel comfortable with that task, like I feel confident. And then their team lead will also sign off on it when they feel confident that they're doing it 100% correctly. So that way they know you might feel 100% confident in this, but actually we still need to work on tailoring this a little bit more. And we do check-ins with them at first. It's the first once a week, at least with me and the assistant manager. And then it kind of, it goes, you know, a little bit farther out after that and more with their team lead and once a month with myself. And we just ask them, what are your goals? What are the three things you feel like you need to really work on over the next 3 months until your next quarterly check-in as well? And how can I as a leader help you get there and achieve that? And we continue that with our established employees, not just onboarding, but, you know, whatever their goal is for the year that they want to work on.
Cool. Oh, I like that a lot. And especially the dual checkoff sheet. I think that's important. Yeah. It's, you know, we panic when we need to hire somebody.
Yeah.
Most offices, because we don't plan our employees well, in a sense that, you know, we're not overstaffed, we're understaffed mm-hmm. for most practices, or we're right at where we need to be. So if somebody leaves, it's, oh my goodness, we need a warm body here quickly. Yep. And then once they're here, I think some of that excitement runs off. So I like that continued checklist to make sure that they're in. Do you have an expectation at your office for current employees or all employees to take continuing education, to take so many hours of classes on Vision Source Learning powered by Leonardo or any other platform?
We try to always have that expectation. Yes. Luckily for me, a lot of our team members actually just that's what we expect in downtime, is if there's downtime or a week where multiple doctors are off because it's like kids spring break or whatever, there's going to be a lot more downtime for projects. And then I'm like, you can pick whatever courses you want to do. But I expect this many to be done. Also, we do department meetings once a month. And before that meeting, we require, sometimes it's the same for all departments and sometimes it's different per department, but there's one course that we require to be completed. And then the first 5 minutes, we sit and just chat about it, what everybody's key takeaways are, if there's anything that we can implement into our daily routine that will, you know, help with whatever that topic was. And that's also helped tie into, trying to be more open to about our KPIs and showing KPI spreadsheet and everything at the beginning of all the meetings. So we've learned that it's just really helping tie together with ultimately to like our bottom line for everything and our goals every day.
Yep. No, I like that. That's I think it's important that you have a uniform base for everybody to have a discussion off of, you know, and it's also nice to make the course the bad guy or the book the bad guy or whatever you're looking at, so we can all talk about the same thing. And if you're trying to motivate change, right, it's not Michaela coming in saying we need to do this. It's, you know, we listened to an article by John Acuff, and you know, he's telling us that we need to change this, and so now John's the bad guy, but we're going to do it because John told us to. But I think it would be hard to make John the bad guy.
Yeah, he's pretty positive motivator.
Absolutely. Which, by the way, I'm super excited to, gonna go off on a slight tangent, but for those who are attending the Vision Source Exchange or thinking about attending, you know, it's only a couple weeks away, and John Acuff is the first speaker that we're bringing back ever as a keynote speaker. His reviews were so high that we just couldn't not bring him back. So looking forward to seeing him. Then if you are part of Vision Source and haven't registered yet, there's still space available. If you are not part of Vision Source, but you're interested in what this whole exchange thing's about, and you know, click on the link in the show notes, and we'll get in touch with you, because I think it's an event like no other within the industry.
1,000%.
Oh, yes, very cool. So I'm curious, and I hesitate asking this because I'm on the receiving end, but as an employee, all right, as a manager, sometimes there's things that you just wish that you could tell your doctors or your bosses, and I'll make sure that that Bob doesn't listen to this. But what do team members, do our employees want us to know as their owner doctors? What if you were to take the gloves off and just and you know, be transparent and open and honest, what do you think that we need to hear so that we can provide better environments, better motivations, you know, whatever the case may be?
Well, I think from some of my vision source meetings to just like even other offices that aren't mine specifically, all of us staff members do share sometimes a common frustration that is doctors. Sometimes I feel like doctors are the hardest to change or train or implement something new. And so I expect when we're going to implement something new in the practice and any other department to see if this is going to help increase our capture rate, for example, I expect them to do it every single day with every patient or whenever that scenario comes up for at least 3 months. Cause I feel like you really can't track something unless it's a 90-day period of time through a quarter. And so, sometimes I wish that they would also just take that initiative and really do it with every single patient, you know, for that time frame. I can't see if something works or will change if we all don't try together as a team. And then the coaching of associate doctors, for sure, as an owner, of making sure that they do those things and to help us move forward in a positive way. That would be at least what we're experiencing in our meetings up here.
Nice. Yeah. I feel like you talked to my Kathy. And she said, hey, if you ever talk to Aaron, I want you to say something. No, I agree with you. It's really easy behind in a team meeting to say we're all going to do something. And it's really easy as the boss to be able to hold somebody else accountable and point out where they didn't. It's much more difficult when you're not somebody who can self-coach. Right. And it's really easy to say, well, I didn't do it on this one because, and to rationalize it off. I think that's a challenge, and I agree with you on that one. I will say one thing that we've tried to implement, and it's not comfortable, but I believe it's been working, and I've been using it on myself, is this little guy right here, my phone, has a really cool function called video. And so I bought a cheap tripod. And it stays at the office, has a little cell phone connector to it. And instead of talking about how we're going to do something or how we're going to talk about a patient, kind of like what I did with you earlier today, I force that role play. And not only do I force the role play, but if I'm the one role playing, I'll use my phone. If it's one of my team members, I'll use their phone. That way they have the video. It's, you know, I don't have it. They have it on their own. But it's really interesting to go back and watch yourself and hear how you're delivering the you know, whatever message you're trying to get to, how you handle the objections, and not only your verbiage but your body language. 97% of communication is nonverbal. And when I do exams on my family members, because I can't do it with patients, but when I do it with my family members, I'll set up a little tripod and record the exam. And I was appalled at how much I never looked at the patient and just stared at the iPad while I was inputting data. And if somebody were to tell me that, I'd argue back with them. When I see myself on video,
right,
I can self-reflect and say, oh, that's, I got to change this. And so I, you know, made some changes. And now when I'm going to input data, I tell the patient, hey, I need to input data. It's going to be awkwardly silent for a minute. I just want to make sure I get everything right. And then I put the iPad down and look back at them so that it's not in my hand. That's how I addressed it. But I wouldn't have known that had I not videoed myself and videoed that interaction, either in a role play scenario or in a live scenario.
I love that.
I think it's helped.
Great idea.
Yeah. So we do it with our team members. So now whenever we have reps come in and do trainings, part of the training is a mandatory role play. Not what I would say, but role play.
Yeah.
You have to record it. Right. And I don't need to see the recording. You just need to see it on yourself so that you know how to change things. And you can see yourself in that, in that role. So I think that's a very powerful tool, you know, and not necessarily free, but everybody bought their phone. So
yeah, exactly. No, I like that a lot. That's a great idea.
But, and then the other thing that we've done is we've been very frank, and that there's a time when we're, you know, boss employee relationship, and there's a time when we're team member, you know, so the doctor doesn't outrank my newest hire. Everybody's on the team. And in the middle of patient care, during, like, when it comes to flow, when it comes to I need you to speed up, or I need you to make an adjustment, everybody's on the same page. And if if a team member of mine tells one of my associate doctors or me, I need you to do this instead of that, their job's to listen and do it. You know, just like if a doctor comes out and says, hey, I need you to run these tests, if they weren't scheduled. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's a reason for it to be done that day, we're just going to assume that there's a reason for it and not fight through. Now, after the fact, if we need to have a discussion about it, we can have a discussion either as team members or as boss employee if needed. But I think it's important during the day to know that in the flow of things, we're all team members. And I think that that's also when we can call each other out. You know, so yeah. if the doctor doesn't, I'm trying to think of an example of when we would want to you know, implement a new change. But if the doctor, you know, doesn't do what they've committed to, I fully expect every team member to call them out on it, not publicly.
Yeah.
But hey, doc, you said you were going to do this. You didn't do it. I need you to go back and fix it. No different than I would tell my team member, hey, I need you to go back and fix this right now too.
Yeah. That's what we're trying to work on here too. So,
yeah, but it's hard to do. How do you?
Well, luckily our first one that we're really like fully like working on this with is actually a really simple one. And it is on the contact lens tab in our EMR record, like making sure it is completely filled out from lens type with the full name, not an abbreviation that a new front desk can kind of confuse. Is it, you know, is it Air Optics or was that, you know, Acuvue Oasis, I don't know, you know, AO, whatever. And having the base curve and diameter in there with a note of, were these, you know, samples dispensed in clinic or do we need to order them? Those couple of things. And so, you know, I did my part in making it as easy as possible. I had Crystal PM add some buttons in there that they can just push for the, it'll fill out all the lens info. All they have to do is put in the powers and add their note in there. And so if that's not done, we've got someone that kind of does a chart review every day. And so, you know, she lets us know. And then either myself or their tech will be like, hey, you've got like 5 charts you got to go fix because you didn't fill all this out properly. And so it's been going okay. That's an easy one because it's all documented and written out. But yeah.
It's an easy one, but it's not. And I love that you brought up that example for a couple of reasons. Number one, it seems so benign that it's just contacts. Yeah. But if the doctors have never worked as a tech in a practice, that's a pain in the ass to have to go through and fill out the individual deals. And I think it's also important to understand that terminology has to be the same and language has to be the same.
Yeah.
I remember back in when Daly's Aqua Comfort Plus by Alcon was a big thing, right? Was it Aqua Comfort Plus? Was it DACP? Was it Daly's Plus? There's like 20 different ways to call that same lens. And even the reps called it different things and the company would refer to it differently. And so making sure that you're using the same terminology, not just within the practice, but marketing to your patients. And if I call it one thing, my staff calls it something other, that creates confusion and confusion creates distrust. So yeah, that's a big deal, even though it seems on the surface really small and benign.
In the past, our focus revolved around prescribing MacuHealth or MacuHealth Plus to patients at risk of macular degeneration, while also recommending it to collegiate and professional athletes for enhanced contrast sensitivity in sports performance. However, this year's introduction of the Life Meter has been a game changer. The Life Meter revealed a concerning truth. Many of my patients have alarmingly low skin carotenoid levels, indicating potential deficiencies in essential body tissues like the retina and brain. Supported by over 30 peer-reviewed publications, LifeMeter's accuracy, consistency, and effectiveness has been demonstrated across 2,000 subjects with diverse backgrounds. With this newfound insight, I can now have meaningful conversations about carotenoid levels with all of my patients, even those who may seem outwardly healthy. To learn more about this empowering technology, feel free to contact your MacuHealth representative or click on the link in the show notes. Together, let's optimize patient care and elevate their well-being. As doctors of optometry, we cannot do what we do without our team. And para-optometrics are allied health professionals who assist us in providing the highest level of vision care to our patients. We at iCode Education want to support you and your team in the para-optometric certification process, which is why not only do we have resources available, training resources available for your team to help prepare them for the test. But we also have a discount code specifically for the Aaron Werner podcast listeners, which gives you $100 off for 12 months. So you can use the code AWP2024, that's AWP2024, to get $100 off for a 12 months code. We'll put the link in the show notes, but you can visit iCodeEducation.com and search for para optometric training to see what those courses are like.
Totally. And that's what we were kind of having trouble with, is different messages to our patients. But also, you know, we've this year, back in St. Patrick's Day, a year ago yesterday, a dump truck drove through our office and we were closed for 8 weeks. The building flooded. It was a whole thing. And so when we came back and we laid off most of our staff, it was just myself and the leadership team that kind of worked through those 8 weeks. But when we came back, there were some team members that didn't return to us, and about half of our team ended up being new. And so kind of rebuilding that and trying to teach a new person that, well, maybe one doctor calls it this lens, one calls it this. And then also as staff, we should really call it this, and it gets confusing. And so we're just trying to get all four of them on the same page, and the team too. So that way it's all one message to our patient.
Yep. Nope. I very much appreciate that. Now, let me ask you something else as well, because it's really easy from a management team, whether it's just a solo owner doctor or a full management team, to with new team members to say, this is how we do things. We're very clear. This is our structure. That sometimes will break down when we bring on associate doctors. And I don't know why. I think there's some thoughts within, you know, as to why that happens, and I certainly have mine. But sometimes associate doctors, we give a lot more freedom to operate outside of the practice cultures. And we don't want to, you know, force a doctor to work a certain way. But I also think it's important that we make sure that they adapt to the culture that they're in, and they subscribe to the philosophies of the practice. Mm-hmm. I know you guys have quite a few different doctors in the practice. How do you help manage that?
In a meeting last week, asked Dr. Neal a question that lies just perfectly with this. And I said, you know, in optical, I don't fit someone in a W3 plus progressive. Like, I'm fitting them in the XR, because that's what's current. That's what our newest technology is. Why are we renewing people's daily Zocco Comfort Plus prescriptions? Like, I mean, you know, aside from maybe a lens sensitivity issue or really patient preference, like, why are we not just saying, here's some samples of Precision One or Total One or, you know, whatever that day with the patient? Yeah. And why can't we just tell each doctor that, like, this is just what we need to do now? Why are we giving them old technology? And he was like, good point. I don't know. And so I think that it's also the same reason I think I've been uncomfortable coaching associate doctors. Dr. Sorensen talks about in so many of, like, Metric of the Month webinars and stuff like that, of coaching associates, so that way they're at her numbers. And I've been really uncomfortable about that for a long time, and I'm trying to find a way to get comfortable with it, because I think it's the only way we're all going to improve and get better. They're doctors. So, that's the only reason we've had.
they're doctors, but they're doctors, which means they're specialized in a certain area.
Yeah.
And they have very, very, you know, adequate training. Running a business typically is not one of them, because mm-hmm. none of us were formally trained, or very few of us were formally trained in business. It was very much on the job, hands-on training. It's not what I spent $250,000 to go to school for. Right. Just learn how to take care of eyeballs and health and whatnot. There's probably a bunch of different answers. I'll give you mine on that. And that's just, it's data, right? Data is hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Feelings are easy to argue with. Data is difficult. And so what I do with my office is we have a meeting and we all align on what the goals are, what we're going to do. And I put that in writing, so it's easy to go back to, very clearly outline what we were going to do, and then I track the numbers. And if the numbers deviate from what we wanted to do, and I ask a question, and that's just why. You know, in your example of the W3 Plus, same in our office, we use the XR. Quite frankly, it's the first everyday progressive that I've had patients call back and say, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. But when I look at my monthly numbers, lab numbers, and I see that somebody used the W3 Plus, I don't go back to them and say, hey, you messed up. I go back to them and say, why did you make this decision? And if they have a very good reason why, that's a high five. You know, way to think and not just go with the flow. Way to analyze the situation and do what was best. And there's various reasons why that could be. But if it was just a, you know, I don't know, I did it, that's not a good enough reason. And so it's a coaching opportunity. Same with the doctors, right? If they're using older technology, hey, why'd you put the patient in the DACP? There might be a really good reason for it. I mean, I still have a one patient that's in an AccuVue 2 bifocal. But she's tried everything else. We've gone through the routes, and it, you know, she comes back every 12 months on the dot. And so there's no reason not to, but I can justify the reason behind it. So I think the data is important. I mean, pro athletes can't get past data. Shoot, we put their numbers up on giant screens so everybody can see how good or bad they're doing. So I think, at least for me, data is a good motivator to have those conversations, because it's hard to argue with the numbers.
Yeah, 1,000%.
So yeah, try that. I'm curious to see if that helps. But yeah, sometimes having those conversations can feel intimidating. But it's important that we all take care of the practice and we're all on the same page. You know, because if not, it becomes challenging. You know, even just treating a glaucoma patient or a dry eye patient, right? How often are you going to bring them back? What's your, you know, what types of tests are we going to want? If every doctor has a different protocol for it, that's really confusing for the staff.
It is, yes. So everybody. Right?
So I think it's get everybody on the same page. There's little nuances that you can make different, but you know, we all want to use the same speed score in dry eye or whatever test we're going to use. We all want to have the same general treatment protocol. I think that's just helpful for everybody. So awesome. Well, Michaela, this has been fun. I really appreciate helping us understand, you know, from the staff side, what motivates you all, what we can do to keep that and create that family culture, because I believe that's important. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that we spend more time with each other than we do with our own families, but
you know, yeah, I don't know either, but I think that it's the most important thing that's helped us create a, you know, a great environment that everybody likes showing up to work for. And I've asked our team too, what does motivate you to want to come here every day to do your best for MBECC? And their response was each other was actually their motivator. Like, we provide a great environment, you know, bonuses are great, doing stuff together outside of the office is great with our staff retreat and stuff like that. But they said that because all of their team members and coworkers show up and work so hard together as a team, if they don't work hard, it really shows and it makes them feel inadequate for the day. And so it was actually each other that really helped motivate them. Helps motivate them to bring their best self to the practice every day.
That's a very cool answer. I like that.
Yeah. And I was shocked that like, we work hard for each other. They all said the same thing. So that was kind of cool.
Nice. For those who haven't had that discussion with our team members, what did that look like? How did you ask? Was it formal or a discussion?
Yeah. I want to talk to them individually, because I didn't want people to be like, oh yeah, you know, what Rachel said sounds great. So I kind of just asked them, it was either group of one or two, but and I just said, like, what makes you want to come to work and bring your best self every day? We actually have two trainings a year on like what it means to bring your best self and how to implement that into our daily life, because that does mean something different for everybody. You know, for me, if I don't do my 5 a.m. routine, I know I'm not going to bring my best self as a leader for the team. I have to like have that full morning routine to get here and feel ready to like conquer the day. But that's not what, you know, like Brooklyn behind me feels right now. She's like, I'm not getting up at 5 to like start my day. I just need to like sleep so I have rest. So I asked them like, what does this mean to you? And they all said, yeah, because we have had such a different variety, as I said in the beginning, of team members and personalities on our team throughout the years. When you have a group of a positive force that's driving forward, if you have someone that's negative or toxic in your workplace, it weeds them right out. And sometimes, unfortunately, no matter how great maybe that worker is and how good they are at their job, if they're a negative force in the office or a toxic team member, it's just not gonna work on our culture and as part of our team. And it's noticed by all their team members. And so the fact that they all just show up every day and want to make each other work harder is really cool.
That is really cool. So I didn't realize that the make or bring your best self to work every day, is that a formalized program that you guys are following? Is that something that you created?
I created it. Yeah. A couple of years ago, I had just had a baby. My son's 5 now. So I guess 5 years ago, I've been doing this. I just had a baby. And I was trying to figure out how I could still work 55 hours a week and have an infant and become a new facilitator for Vision Source and, because my personality is like, oh, just pile it on. A baby? Just pile it on. It's fine. I really struggled at first. And half of our team at that time was actually not supporting our current culture. It was unfortunately kind of half of a little bit of a negative mindset. And I picked up a book that kind of changed my life, which was Girl Stop Apologizing by Rachel Hollis. A friend gave it to me. She gave it to me 3 months prior because I think she could see me spiraling down a little bit. And I just didn't have time. I don't remember the last book I read that wasn't like something about like practice management and optometry or something like that. So I was on an airplane and I decided to bring the book with me and I read it and I was like, wow, this is great. Like this, these are easy things I can follow and implement into my life that will just at least make me feel, I'm a very type A person and I'm very organized, but I feel like things around me are organized, like my desk and stuff like that, but my life wasn't necessarily. So it kind of helped me prioritize how do I balance work and home, but also like work and helping my team feel supported. And so that's when I implemented like my 5 a.m. morning routine, and kind of all these little things and how we take our big master list for the year that my assistant manager, Lori, and I have, how do we take that big list for the year, but make it happen throughout the year of the goals that we want to accomplish, and stuff like that. And that's when I learned how important mindset is in our lives. And, for the last 3 months, I've been a 40-hour week optician and today I have a new one starting. So I have the light at the end of my tunnel. But I've been trying to balance doing that plus my job and being here for the team. It's hard when you just want to like not show up to do all that because it seems like a lot at once. And then your dog goes out and gets all muddy right before you have to leave in the morning. Anyways, so my point is that it was something that I learned that I feel like maybe my team members could value this too. And so twice a year we do training on that. And it is our caring rep is really great. He's super well put together. He is great at sales. He has been a rep with us through, first was with Marshawn and then he switched to caring. And he's someone that we've always looked to just to kind of help do a polishing training for our staff. So he kind of goes over the little things you can do to be more presentable to our patients. It sounds silly, but the more put together that you are, the better you feel about yourself. You're going to bring a better version of yourself.
Oh, 100%.
And you're going to maybe remember to say like, hey, we have a 30% off second pair special today, you know, like maybe we get a matching sunglass, you know, whatever. And so we first kind of started doing it just for, hopefully this will help our capture rate and increase our sales. But then we actually really learned it was really helping drive our positive culture with everything. So he does that training with us once a year because we probably have a new staff member or it's great to get a refresher. And then at our annual staff retreat every year, we do kind of a little repeat of that condensed, not with him, just with, you know, myself or somebody else kind of leading that. And then we talk about what everybody has to say, like it's interactive. What does it mean to bring your best self to work? We write that down on a big whiteboard. And then we talk about what are our moments of truth, which that means, what does it mean? Like as a patient, what's a moment of truth when I walk through the door? Like, am I greeted right away? Are you smiling at me or are you clearly hating your life and how can I help you today? Kind of typing away at the computer. They have to say that about each other too. Like, you know, what do you think that Haven, our front desk, what do you think her moment of truth is when someone walks through the door? Is she greeting them right away and kind of showing each other strengths, which helps a little bit too.
That's cool. Well, it sounds like I need to have you back to do another episode to talk through that. I would love to dive into it more. We just don't have time today. So we'll schedule another one of these.
Cool.
That's very cool. I like that a lot. And great book recommendation. I will put that in the show notes too. Girls Stop Apologizing, you said, by Rachel Hollis.
Yeah.
So cool.
It's a good one.
Awesome. That is a good one. Well, wow. This has been, I've got lots of notes. This has been very helpful and insightful. So Michaela, I very much appreciate the conversation and giving us some time to chat and your insights.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a great day, and I will see you in a couple weeks.
All right. Sounds good.